This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day, Michael Kirkpatrick. Glad you guys could be with us here live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. The Falcons announced yesterday that they have completed an interview with John Harbaugh for their head coaching job. I don't know. This is part of the top story. Have you noticed it more, Mike? I know you don't do social media or anything. You only have three tweets, but I think it is interesting noting that all these NFL teams are putting out, here's the list of interviews we just had. I don't remember seeing that as often.
It feels like a young people thing.
Like they we put just a bunch want of you to know olds. We've interviewed all the top candidates and they want our organization, I guess. College doesn't do that.
Well, now you can't hire like someone out of like the middle of nowhere. You can't hire like the quarterback's coach of this team. You have to hire the former head coach of this. Now that you're doing this, you have to deliver a name.
John Harbaugh has had extensive phone calls with the Giants, Tennessee Titans, Cleveland Browns, Las Vegas Raiders, and Arizona Cardinals as well. Do you like John Harbaugh? No, you don't, because he beat the Broncos at one point. Okay, yeah, your weird little response.
Yeah, but like as far as the coach, I think he's a great coach. Needs a new location.
Where does John Harbaugh fit? Does he fit with the Falcons? Big hub? You tell me. Giants? Titans?
I think he fits in a place where he doesn't have a micromanager.
I think it would be funny if he ended up as the head coach of the Browns. Because the quarterback of the Browns currently. Now, I don't know if Deshaun Watson will be taking over next year, but what is it, Shadur right now? Would you say today Shadur Sanders is the starting quarterback?
Yeah, because of how the end of the season, his popularity in the end of the season.
Well, and Shadur was not reportedly, we know it's true. Baltimore wanted him. They were going to draft him later. But he was like, I have no interest in backing up a guy that I'll probably... Which he would have played a lot this year. Shadur would have played a lot of football for the Baltimore Ravens, Mike. He might have helped him get to the playoffs. Who knows? He could have saved the season for the Ravens. But instead, he said, I don't want to go there and be a backup. I'd rather go to Cleveland where the quarterback is wide open. No, Deshaun did not play this season, Mike. But I would rather go to Cleveland where it's a wide open quarterback.
Yeah, but back then, wasn't Deshaun Watson like the starter?
Back
when he was drafted?
When Shadur was drafted? No. Well, he got hurt in the offseason.
So at that time, he was like, oh, fine. I don't want to draft up a legendary quarterback. Then he gets to back up a sex offender, alleged.
Yes, thank you for saying that, because you have a tendency to just blurt stuff out of that little brain of yours.
Many dense, hardworking, sometimes neurons.
Big Hub says it's been happening for a while now. Like, what are we talking? I don't remember seeing it as, like, NFL teams announcing who they're interviewing. I don't see it that much. College, you really don't see it. I mean, CSU, we had no idea who they were interviewing.
Not till the kids
take over. Both for basketball or football, Text us on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Michael, did you get this clip I sent you? John Mazzulla, the head coach of the Boston Celtics. This is talking about our whole press conference conversation, because we know how riveting those questions can be. I want you to pay attention to two things in this clip, assuming Michael got it figured out. I want you to pay attention to, obviously, what Joe Mazzulla had to say, but I want you to pay attention to how the reporter handles her business, and you tell me that that's much better than what we saw from Lynn Jones, or we heard from Lynn Jones asking Liam Cohen questions. Here is the interview, the post game with Boston Celtics head coach, who was very upset at a missed call on the floor late in the loss to the Indiana Pacers last night.
Joe, give yourself the chance to win, I guess. Take us through the last couple of sessions.
A legal screen.
What'd you say?
A legal screen.
Illegal screen.
Illegal screen.
What fell apart to get you guys behind, and then how were you able to get behind?
Illegal screen.
What do you mean by that? What do you want people to know about?
Illegal screen.
Would you like to do anything else?
Illegal screen.
Okay, was it an illegal screen? It could have been an illegal screen at the end of this game last night by Pascal Siakam. Set a screen at the top of the three-point line, causing Derek White for the Celtics to lose his balance. It looked like Siakam's shoulder did go into him, so it did look like an illegal screen. I don't know if any official has the you-know-whats to call that late in the game, because it wasn't egregious. But, listen, man, I like Mazzulla. I'm a fan of his. I would hate to interview him. I would hate to be in that press conference room. But can I just say, for you, Michael,
the reporters, they're so much more sophisticated than the press conference room.
What? This is the question. She followed up after three illegal screen responses in a row, thinking she was going to get something different. At that point, you know the game he's playing. Stop it. What fell apart to cause you to be behind, and then what changed when you got close? You watch the game, you tell me. Like, dude, sometimes reporters just ask questions because they get to tell their boss that they ask questions. That is not a good question. I will take Lynn Jones. Now she's all over the place. She's probably going to get a freaking trademark deal for Keep Your Head Up. She's probably going to make money now. Hey, Mike, what fell apart to cause you guys to get behind? And then what changed to help you guys get in the lead? If I were a coach, I'd be like, you tell me. You're covering my game. We weren't making shots in the first part of it. And then they were making shots. And then stay with me, gang. Stay with me. Then we started making shots, and then they started, you know, missing shots. Now, I know there's a lot more to it. We stopped turning the ball over. Guys were back in position on the defensive side, all that stuff, but come on. And that's why coaches just say, you know what, this is a freak. I almost cussed. This is a joke. I'm just going to say illegal screen, and then she's going to do a follow-up. Illegal screen. Illegal screen. What fell apart to get you guys behind? That's the question. What fell apart to get you guys behind? Now, I interview a lot of people, Mike. Have I ever asked a coach, what fell apart to get you guys behind? it's wild to me. Go ahead, Michael. Yeah, Mazzulla.
So if I were her, and there's a really famous NBC like reporter, highly respected.
Keep us here.
His thing was always, he asked the question twice and moved on. Never asked it a third time. So when she heard that illegal screen the third time, because the second time she asked him, like, what did you say? To clarify. But, like, once she heard it that third time, she should have just moved on. She should have known, okay.
Yeah, this is the game you're playing. I already said that. I don't need an NBC professional guy to tell me that. This is the game you're playing. I'm not playing the game with and you anymore. She should have stopped.
All reporters should learn from that. Like, at some point when you know the coach is not going to give you a real answer, don't keep trying to get that answer. Just
yeah, but don't move on. But don't ask a bogus question. What fell apart to get you guys in, to get you guys behind? If you watch the game, then you know. Breaking news, Mike. Mike Tomlin to step down as the Steelers head coach. 19 seasons in Pittsburgh, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler and Adam Schefter. He has 2 years remaining on his contract, informed Steelers players of his decision to walk away at their 12 o'clock meeting today, one day after being eliminated. Tomlin, 53 years old, still pretty young in terms of head coaches. He leaves the Steelers with something pretty amazing, man. Never having a losing season in nearly two decades at the helm of the franchise. That's awesome. He clinched his 200th career NFL victory in Week 16 against the Lions, tied Chuck Knoll for ninth all-time with 193 regular season wins in a Week 18 win over the Ravens that clinched the AFC North title. Do you think that was 100% on Mike Tomlin? Or do you think this was, hey, we ain't firing you. We're not going to fire you. It's like in Billy Bean in Moneyball when he's talking to his scout and he's like, I'm not going to fire you, man. And the guy puts his hand on him. He's like, now I am. Do you think it was one of those?
I don't think so. I think the Rooneys are loyal to a fault.
That's what I'm saying. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Do you think I'm saying that they were like, we're not going to fire you. We need you to leave. We're not going to do it. Don't put us in that spot. Don't put us in that position. You owe us that because we owed you. We gave you everything.
I don't know if there was pressure. I think a lot of the pressure was coming from outside. I don't know if the pressure was coming from inside. They just seem to be very loyal, like way too loyal.
That's what I'm saying, though. They knew that they probably needed to move on. But they're not going to fire him because that's not the Steeler way. So it was more of a, man, you've been here 19 years, and we have slapped away any notion of firing you. We aren't going to do it. That's what we are. That's who we are as the Steelers. Don't make us do that. And out of the goodness of Tomlin's heart, maybe he's like, let's because he's got 2 years left. So if he were to go somewhere else, the Steelers could or the Steelers would get some kind of compensation for that. We'll see, man. Mike Tomlin is one of the good ones in this game, and I hope that he stays in the NFL. I don't want him to go to college. I know he already poo-pooed that idea. Coming up next, we've got Mike Brohard joining us. Colorado State back in action tonight against Fresno State. Will we see a familiar face back in the lineup for the Rams? And, you know, what are Mike's thoughts right now for Colorado State as they're kind of middle of the pack of the Mountain West Conference? It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Will the defense carry the Broncos all the way, or will someone else rise to the occasion? Hear Broncos games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Yeah, big news there. Mike Tomlin stepping down. For my money, man, I'm saying it. The guy has to stay as a head coach in the league. And I don't know why he gets a different set of expectations put on him, and I'm one of the guys to do it. I don't know. He's a great one. Mike Brohard joining me now from CSURams.com. The Rams back at it tonight against Fresno State. Mike, my friend, always great to catch up with you.
It's a pleasure to catch up with you too, Brady. How's 2026 treating you?
Yeah, it's wild, Mike. There's a lot of games going on. My brain's trying to keep up with everything. We got a lot of firings, a lot of step downs. We got Broncos, big game against the Bills, big basketball game. It's hard to keep up, Mike. It's tough. I know you know how it goes.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some Wyoming people who are Bronco fans because of proximity that they're kind of divided.
That's a great point. I've actually had a good chunk of people texting in rooting for Josh Allen over the Broncos this weekend, man. It's blowing my mind.
That's the way it goes.
Speaking of Josh Allen, you've been covering Colorado State for a while, and you've been covering those matchups for a while. When you watch Josh Allen play, did you at one point think, yeah, he's going to be one of the best players in the NFL?
Did I think he would be MVP caliber type? I don't know if I ever made that jump. I thought he was going to be a really good pro. And I was actually kind of excited if I thought the Broncos were going to draft him.
Yeah, yeah,
because
I did too.
He was a quarterback at the time, and they decided he wasn't their guy, and it's taken them a while to find their guy.
One of the biggest misses, I think even Elway's talking about that now. I mean, that's maybe not even one of the biggest misses. Maybe that was the biggest miss in Broncos franchise history, Mike.
I don't know. That's hard to say. You can go back through a bunch of drafts and wonder if they would have taken this guy or that guy. And then I think part of that is you see how players play on other teams and you think it'll be the exact same. And maybe the system is different. Maybe circumstances would have been different and their career wouldn't have gone the same way. But I can understand where the fascination is to go back and look and go, man, if we'd only taken this guy. And there's a bunch of guys throughout the year where you look at and you go, he was taken really late in the first round, and there's probably like 20 teams that wish they would have taken him.
Yeah. Who you like between this matchup this weekend, Mike? Where are you going?
I'm just an impartial observer.
So no pick?
No, I'll cheer for the Broncos.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll cheer for the Broncos, but I don't think it's going to be an easy game.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. We'll see what happens, of course, but it's going to be a battle for sure. For Colorado State, it was nice to see them beat UNLV over the weekend on the men's side of things. I got you know this, but seeing Rashad Memba back, slowly but surely just kind of getting back in the mix. I know he's tried earlier, but, man, he makes a big difference when he's out on the floor.
It does, because he gives them a physical presence and anchor on the defensive end. He can obviously add to the scoring threat. Changes their offensive flow, definitely changes their defensive standard. So it's great to get him back. And slowly but surely, they'll keep getting healthy, and this team is still in, I guess, in development is the best way of looking at it. I mean, I don't think who you're seeing right now on the floor is the team you're going to see in a month. Very much reminds me a little bit of last year. We might not have seen it coming in the same way last year, because this year you look at two things, you go, okay, Rashawn's been out, Kyle's been out, you've lost your two best posts. That's obviously changed things. You would expect them to be a better team in a month, and when those guys come back healthy, right? Last year I don't know that you saw it, because it was pretty much the same guys on the floor. It was just them growing together and developing, and I think it's a mixture of both. Getting guys healthy, this team continuing to get more and more comfortable with the things they're doing and how they do them together, and that will make a difference coming down the stretch.
Yeah, speaking of getting guys healthy, Kyle Jorgensen, that's the other one, up in the air. What do we know at 12:27, a few hours away from tip-off in this one? Do you think we'll see Mr. Jorgensen out there tonight for CSU?
Okay, this is funny, because you're the second person to ask me that today, and the first guy, his name was Kevin, and he called me out of the blue from Las Vegas. I do not know Kevin. And oh. Kevin asked me about this, and I'll give you the same response. That would be an NCAA violation for me to tell you anything that I knew about Kyle.
Oh, so I can't. Can we do like the wink, wink, blink twice if he's going to play?
I can't do wink, wink with you on radio.
Just wink twice.
I can wink
twice.
All I want, but you'd never see it.
Yeah, but I'll know.
I can blink twice, and you'll never see
I've
it.
I've got to know you pretty good. I can tell when you're winking, even when we're not
when
looking at each other.
Yeah. What if I just got something in my eye?
I can tell different. It's a wink on purpose. I can tell, Mike. I've gotten to know you that well. So go ahead.
I think 3 hours before games, you have to put out an availability report. That's pretty much nationwide with all conferences. So what time we tip? 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. So I'll shoot you a text.
4 o'clock, you can check the availability report and you'll find out.
All right, man.
Same to everybody.
Hey, you can't blame a guy for trying. You can't blame me or Kevin for trying.
I really can't blame you guys for trying, but I also don't want to lose my job.
Well, and I'm still learning what questions I can ask you.
And you're asking me in a public setting. I mean,
that's true.
Millions of listeners are listening to this right now. I could be fired within 5 minutes if I answered that question.
So I could have got you fired today, Mike.
You could have. And I mean, then who would you talk to at 12:20 on Tuesday?
That's how good you are at your job. And I trust you're not going to screw it up.
But you can replace me in a minute. You can find any clown to come on at 12:20 on Tuesday.
No, you're the only one that's available, Mike. It is Mike Brohard or bust at this point. Otherwise, it's Michael and I tell knock-knock jokes.
Okay, well, I apologize to your listeners for them being forced to listen to me at 12:20 on Tuesday.
Can I say, are signs looking positive for the near future for Kyle Jorgensen? Can we ask that?
I think there have been reports out that he's been getting some live refs.
That's it. That's pretty good.
You can take that for what it means.
Okay.
That means to you.
Well, people want to know about KJ, man. They want to know.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes you're optimistic, sometimes you're pessimistic. So I don't know what you're going to do with that news.
It depends on the day, Mike. It just depends
really
on the day.
It does with you.
Yes, it does.
Kind of fly to you that way.
On the mood, the day, whatever. Thoughts on this team at this stage in the season, Mike? Are they ahead of where you thought they'd be in Ali Farouk Manesh's first year as head coach? Certainly the injuries have played a pretty significant role here. Are they behind where you thought they'd be, or kind of right where you thought maybe at this stage?
Let's put it this way. I'm encouraged by where they are at 11-5, right? I know they're 2-3 in conference. But you take all factors, the things that we've talked about, into accordance. I think I'm encouraged by where this team is sitting right now.
How do you feel?
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. How do you feel about this one tonight?
I feel good. Yeah. I feel like this team is playing well. I think they've had some time. Ollie kind of touched on this too. There can be a little magic that happens over break. Tough for student athletes because a lot of them don't get to spend a lot of time with family over the holidays like a lot of people do because they're playing games. But when they're here, they're also solely focused on basketball. They are not taking creative writing 204. They're just all about the basketball. So they can hone in on some things, focus on some aspects that they'd like to improve, and get things kind of shored up. And I think you've seen this team work on those things. And again, Bemba coming back and playing the other night, it's just another step forward. So I think the break has been good for them. So that's another reason why I feel good about tonight.
No, it's a big, you know, having Bemba back, of course. Fresno State, they got a 7-foot monster. I mean, he's a huge human. What is it, Wilson Jaquez? Is that how you say it, Mike? 7-foot, 264 pounds. That's a big human.
I think he just prefers that you just don't call him late to dinner.
I won't. I'll be careful calling him, man, because I could get you fired. Who knows what happens if I'm calling this dude?
Sure, yeah, exactly.
Mike, hey, I know this weekend on the women's side and then later in early in February, important games coming up, not just on the floor, but for what it means. And I know this is a personal one for you, but the Fight Like a Ram games are coming up starting this Saturday on the women's side. I know it's big for the community. Absolutely.
It is. It's a great partnership, and it puts the light on UC Health and their oncology department and all the great work they do. And I've said it, I'll say this throughout the end of time. The nurses that work in the oncology department are very, very special people. I don't think everybody's wired to do that job, and the way that they treat patients and families, it's just phenomenal. I can never speak highly enough of that group. But yeah, it is. It's a very special partnership because it kind of takes the focus off some of our teams and puts them on people that are fighting a very important battle in their life. They need support, not just from their families, but from the community. And I know I've talked to Ryan multiple times throughout this. This is an emotionally very hard game for the players. And, you know, Ollie said it. I know Nico said it. It was tough. It means a lot to these players to take their name off the back of their jersey and play for somebody else in something bigger than them. The players get into it, and I know some of the players have been very, very in tune with staying in touch with the cancer warriors that they've represented on the floor throughout the years. And sometimes it's gotten hard because they've lost a couple of those patients along the way. And it's hard on them. And in that moment, though, I know our players are very proud, and I think we're all proud of them for them to take a step back and play for somebody other than themselves and their team and their university and their community, and do it with grace and dignity.
Yeah, and I know it's very emotional too, and I absolutely love it. I think it's very unique, but more importantly, really special and important to also highlight the important work, as you noted, that the great nurses and doctors at UC Health are doing every single day.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, my family went through an experience on it, but you also have to acknowledge, even though my wife's story did not end the way we wanted it to, you do need to acknowledge everybody that made her life better along the way. And they were phenomenal. They're phenomenal people over there, and they do it with care when they know families are in a very, very tough moment.
Yeah, just you're seeing more and more just these special special games with special meaning tied behind them with Colorado State. And Mike, I know these games are near and dear to you too, man. So, of course, thinking about you during this process, it's got to be emotional for everybody kind of involved.
It is. And a lot of people, there's a lot of people around here and around UC Health that are very emotional about these games and what they mean in the overall scheme of things.
Yeah, no question. Mike, always appreciate you, my friend. You know we love having you on the show. And
not to get me fired anymore.
I'm learning what I can and cannot ask you, but you know what? You're good enough to know that if I'm gonna press, and then you just have to, you know, slap me away, and then you won't get fired.
So, yeah, I like my job.
Yeah, you're good. You're good at it. All right, Mike, we'll talk to you soon, man.
Take care. Y'all.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Michael cutting him off there. Was done with Brohard. Micah says, I'm done. Moving on to the next one.
Too much positivity.
Positivity about what UC Health and the CSU Rams are doing and honoring cancer patients and things like that. That's just too positive for you, huh?
Well, he was like, these people are working hard and stuff. And I'm like,
Do you really want to have said that? You want to scratch that? You want to scratch that one out?
I'm just so negative today.
Well, okay. Micah aside, it is an extremely special thing that the Colorado State women's and men's basketball players do. They will put names of the cancer patients that they're working with. They get to know these patients, and then they'll put their names of them on the back of their jerseys and represent them. And like Mike said, unfortunately, not all of those patients survive. So it can be tough because these players get to know them. You know, they're talking to them. They're getting to know their story a bit more, and vice versa. The patients are getting to know the players a bit. So it's a special one. And Saturday is the women's Fight Like a Ram game. And then the men's Fight Like a Ram game is on February 7th, 12:37 the time. We'll jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place. After you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The pressure is on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, but there's also pressure on the Broncos. They're the number one seed. They are the number one seed. And Sean Payton said last year after the Bills smoked them, hey, we got to find a way to get these playoff games here, home, in Denver. Well, he did it. Got his wish. This team got it. You can argue all you want about the schedule and who they were playing at the time and the quarterbacks they were playing at the time, but the bottom line is they did enough to get that number one seed to ensure that they're going to be hosting the divisional round playoff game. And, of course, if they beat the Bills, they'll be hosting the AFC Championship game. So a lot of pressure on both sides of the ball. I keep talking about Bo Nix and what I think, you know, needs to happen in order for the Broncos to move past this round, but I'm telling you, after watching Houston last night, CJ Stroud looked bad. Houston's offense really aside from a few key plays, really didn't do much. It was that defense that just kept making stop after stop after stop and ultimately coming up with some big turnovers that put this game away. So maybe the conventional wisdom, the obvious choice or obvious answer is that it will be the Denver Broncos defense that absolutely bring it, get after Josh Allen, who Josh has a different set of weapons around him now. I mean, he doesn't have like that go-to key player aside from James Cook running the football. He loves his tight ends, but it's not like one of those guys put up top tight end numbers this year. But this is, everything is on Josh Allen in this game, and he has to do it in Denver with the loudest that crowd. This is the loudest the crowd has ever been. It sure seems like, anyway. And he's going to have to do it in front of a lot of crazy Broncos fans. So that's why getting that number one seed was just so damn important. Will the Broncos cash in on that? Josh Allen, in his career, he is 8-6 in the playoffs. Not bad. In 2020, his first year in, they lost to Houston in the wild card round. In 2021, they made it to the AFC Championship, and they lost to Kansas City. 2022, they lost in the divisional round to Kansas City. In 2023, lost in the divisional round to Cincinnati. That's why we keep saying, hey, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar, who Josh has beaten in the playoffs. But still, those are the very, again, it's not like he's going up against them, but that's who keeps firing back and making his life a lot more difficult. In 2024, lost in the divisional round to Kansas City. Kansas City has been that team. In 2025, lost, 2024, excuse me, they lost in the AFC title game to Kansas City. So it has been, you know, Kansas City stopping them in the AFC Championship in 2025, January 26, 2025. In that game, he threw for 237 yards against the Chiefs, but that's been the tough one for the Bills to get past, obviously. They don't have a problem with everybody else, man. I mean, you look at the teams that they beat after losing to Houston. They beat the Colts in 2021 in the wild card round. They beat Baltimore, so he got Lamar Jackson in the divisional round of 2021. And we talked about it, lost to the Chiefs. Then the next year, beat the Patriots in the AFC wild card game. And then lost in the divisional game to Kansas City. 2023, beat the Dolphins in the wild card game. Lost to the Bengals in the divisional round. In 2024, beat the Steelers in the wild card round. And then lost to Kansas City in that divisional round. The Bills are, hey, Josh Allen and the Bills traditionally can beat the lesser teams in the wild card round. But haven't really done it. I mean, really, he's been to the AFC Championship twice. It seems like he's been to the AFC Championship a lot more, but he's only been there twice. Because unfortunately, they had to catch Kansas City in three divisional rounds, and it's kept Josh Allen from even getting to the AFC Championship. So that's one of the things on the Broncos' side here is all eyes are going to be on Josh Allen this weekend. It's more on Josh than any other quarterback in the playoffs this weekend. I don't care who you talk to. I mean, this is where, you know, you can look at no pressure on Drake May. I guess there's pressure on Stroud now. Like, hey, if your defense is going to put up that kind of effort against the Patriots, you have to deliver something offensively. But there's not like an amazing amount of pressure on either one of those teams to go on. Nobody expected either of those teams to be in the AFC Championship. One of them will. And then on the NFC side, well, Stafford got one. He got one with the Rams. The Bears, nobody expected the Bears to be the 2 seed. Seahawks, Niners, I suppose there's some pressure on Brock Purdy. Are you really that guy? Because every year we ask, is Brock Purdy really that franchise quarterback? And the second you doubt him is the second he delivers. The second you think he's going to be the man is the second he kind of struggles. So I suppose there's some pressure there. And then what Sam Darnold's done with Seattle, hey, can you do it in the playoffs? That's the question for Darnold, because he had a nice resurgence of in his career. But then we know what happened last year in the playoffs, and we know what, you know, hey, that's what people expect. We haven't seen this. They got the first round bye, so there's some pressure there, but there's only one guy in these playoffs, Mike, that you look at and say, that's a Hall of Famer. I mean, maybe Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's probably a Hall of Famer, but different echelon to me. Sorry. But Josh Allen is pretty much since 2020, maybe even before that, Josh Allen has been a top-tier guy. He's right there with Patrick Mahomes, just doesn't have the hardware. So what do the Broncos have to do? We're going to talk about that in the second hour of the show. What would bode well for Bo Nix going up against this Bills defense? And if I'm the Bills defensive coordinator, Bobby Babich, I'm doing one very specific thing. I'm playing this a very specific way. And it kind of has a connection to Tim Tebow. We'll talk about that in the 1 o'clock hour. Brian Howell's going to join us from Buff Zone. The Buffs lost a pretty solid player. They're probably their second biggest name. Maybe their biggest name, depending on who you ask. Jordan Seaton entering the transfer portal. We'll talk to Brian how that went down. Major cause for concern for the Colorado Buffaloes. All that and more coming up next.
For Avalanche games and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
.12:52 the time. Welcome back into the whole show. Coming up, Brian Howell going to join us. Let's talk a little Colorado Buffaloes. And Jordan Seaton entering the transfer portal. If that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about the world of NIL and portal business, Jordan Seaton was named the Buffalo Heart Award winner. That is a player award given by the fans. So they vote on it. Fans vote on this, and that goes to someone. This will be the first winner of that specific award to finish his college career at a different school. So, very, again, this is, it's not a surprise, and it's not like, it's not a knock on Coach Prime. It's not a knock on the Buffs organization right now. Although that story Sean Keeler did about donor fatigue certainly doesn't help, because they clearly don't have the money to be able to keep a guy like Jordan Seaton. I'm curious what kind of money he'll demand on the free market now. Free market, free agents. He's a free agent. So Brian will join me, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Obviously, the big news of the day, Mike Tomlin stepping down as the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach. Wondered if maybe that would happen. I really just had a hard time picturing a headline that said Steelers are moving on from Mike Tomlin. But there is that part of me, and I know the Steelers press release came out already about, you know, it was 100% Mike Tomlin informing the organization that he would be stepping down. But there's that part of me that just wonders if this was more of a conversation like, hey, we just don't fire coaches, man. We love you. We love you. We are loyal. We don't want to be the bad guy. And would they have if, who knows? But it just seemed like, you know, see a game like that last night and Aaron Rodgers, all of it. It's just probably not the way to go for the future for Pittsburgh, I guess. Like I said, man, I don't know if you're going to find much better coaches out there than Mike Tomlin. But according to the reports, what we know, at least the reports indicate that Mike Tomlin was the one who chose to step down. 12:55 the time. Coming up next, we'll talk to Brian Howell from the Buff Zone. We'll get into Broncos, Bills. Do the Broncos have a secret weapon on the sidelines that's a part of the coaching staff? We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.